Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Americans on the left, the right, and in the middle disagree on a lot of things. Guess what? That's not new in our country. What is new is that disagreement has come to include disdain for the other side. It's time to think again about how we have conversations in this country. So for the next 40 minutes, we're going to talk with the leaders of an extraordinary organization called Braver Angels. We're going to talk about what they're doing to address polarization and what role each of us must play in healing the divides. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
It is so fantastic to have actually in the studio today David Blankenhorn, who's the president and co-founder of Braver Angels, and John Wood Jr., who's the national ambassador for Braver Angels. And I am so excited about this conversation because this is the middle of the crucial conversation we need to be having as a country. And David, let me start with you just in terms of kind of the history of Braver Angels. You were co-founder and part of that. Give us kind of the genesis story.
Yeah, thanks, Boyd. Thanks for having us on this morning. Shortly after the 2016 election, I was in New York City, and I called my friend David Lapp, who lives in South Lebanon, Ohio. You know, New York City, Manhattan, everybody voted for Clinton. Yeah. And in South Lebanon, Ohio, 70% of Warren County voted for Donald Trump. So I was on the phone with him, and I said, he said, how are people feeling in Manhattan today? Oh, people are all upset. They feel like they've been shot in the stomach. What's happened to our country? And I said, how are people feeling in South Lebanon today? He said, well, feeling pretty good, you know, hope and change, brother. So we were talking about the polarization in the country, and we said in 3 weeks we're going to have a meeting in the church in a church basement in South Lebanon. We're going to bring together 10 people who had just voted proudly for Hillary Clinton and 10 who had just voted proudly for Donald Trump. We're going to see if we can't actually talk with each other instead of at each other or about each other, which we did. We did that in December 2016, and man, it was kind of magical. I mean, we spent a weekend together, and we really emerged feeling better about each other, better about the country, just more hopeful, you know, because it was a very emotional time, as you can recall. So now we've done thousands of these things around the country, and we brought together, you know, we're a kind of a grassroots movement to do that thing, that encounter between people who have strong political disagreements. You know, and we don't try to change their minds about politics. We try to change their minds about each other, about the basic humanity.
Yeah, and that's such an important part of all of this. We often talk about it's not that someone is wrong, but they're wrong, but evil is where so much of the politics has taken us.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a kind of a heart sickness in the country today about how acrimonious we become, how ugly, in a way, our public conversation has become.
Yeah.
And so we found that there's a desire on people, with people, to participate in making it better.
Yeah, and I love that. I think some of our biggest challenges that we've sort of deified our politics and we've politicized many of our faith organizations. Yes. And John, you've been on the ground for a lot of these conversations as a national ambassador for Braver Angels. Give us some sense in terms of those conversations. You've been everything from a candidate for office, been involved in all of those. How do we start having that different kind of conversation, really seeing each other, as David just mentioned? How do we start seeing each other different through the kinds of experiences you're creating at Braver Angels?
Right. There are a couple of different ways to go about answering that question. Braver Angels began with really a single offering. And so David alluded to it. But that first workshop in South Lebanon, Ohio, wound up producing sort of a smaller version, with the essential kind of setup being that you bring small groups of people from the right and the left, reds and blues, as we say in house, together, not to so much argue or debate politics, primarily, but to speak from the vantage point of their own personal experiences in terms of why they see politics the way that they do. And so, you know, it's quite literally the application of marriage counseling, mm-hmm. you know, principles to the relationship between Republicans and Democrats. And from that first sort of family therapy style workshop has evolved a suite of offerings that Braver Angels has developed, aimed at different aspects of sort of the communication problem here, right? And so we've got a workshop called Depolarizing Within, which is really about sort of focusing in on your inner monologue, right? We all have sort of an inner voice, and sometimes when we see somebody, you know, wearing the wrong t-shirt, the wrong hat, the wrong bumper sticker, you know, it triggers sometimes an uncharitable way of thinking that person. So this workshop is aimed at sort of counteracting that internally. We have a workshop called Skills for Bridging the Divide, which focuses in on sort of the art of empathetic conversation. Across political divides. Yeah. We have Braver Angels Debates, which is a program that brings together groups of people to debate issues, but not in the interest of vanquishing the opponent, but in the interest of the communal pursuit of truth, elevating intellectual humility, being honest about your doubts about an issue. Right? Yeah. And so there are all these different techniques, but the unifying starting point, which I think is really sort of gets at the deeper answer to your question, is that whatever your politics, the shared obligation we have coming into these conversations is to pursue them from a spirit of good faith, from a spirit of goodwill, meaning well towards the other party, regardless of the agreements or disagreements, and being willing to honor the human dignity in that individual or in that group of people. That is how we begin.
Yeah, the dignity across our differences is so important. And I know, David, a lot of what you have done and many of the principles, I love that we have both the principles and then we have the practices that John just described, those skill set. It's a skill power as much as it is a willpower, and bringing those together is so important. And the fact that this is not kumbaya, this is not group hug, this is not rose-colored glasses or anything else, you talk about it in the context of being able to state your views freely, fully, and without fear. And I love that. I'd love to hear your thought on that. And then also this disagreeing accurately. We talk about disagreeing better and doing it a little different, but disagreeing accurately is also a crucial principle.
Yeah. Well, those are two of our propositions of what we call the Braver Angels Way. We have several of them, and you just listed two of the very most important. We state our views fully and freely without fear.
Yeah.
We don't try to hide our strength of our convictions. We don't try to tell each other, oh, don't put it that way. I find that offensive. We don't try to coach people on how they should say what they think. We let people say exactly what they believe in exactly the way they want to say it. And then they pay the respect of letting others do the same, and they listen. The second one on accurate disagreement, you know, so many of our disagreements are based on misunderstanding. You know, I say, oh, you support the wall. You believe that you don't like immigrants, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's why I disagree with you. Well, if I actually heard your view of it, it would not be that way.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to have, I want to disagree with you based on what you really believe, not just based on what I think you probably believe.
Right.
So we stress accurate disagreement, not inaccurate disagreement. And the beautiful thing about pursuing accurate disagreement is it requires you to identify common ground.
So if I
know exactly the boundaries of our disagreement, I know the boundaries of our agreement. And then we can find some kind of civic friendship based in part upon those areas in where we do agree. And so then we are on a journey together.
Yeah, I love that.
Where we are connected to one another, even though, you know, you like a wall, I don't like a wall. So,
Well, and by the way, Boyd, with respect to accurate disagreement, part of what we teach and a useful question people can ask themselves in the context of a conversation over, you know, what do we agree and disagree upon is, can you represent the perspective or the opinion of the folks and the other on the other side of the conversation,
right,
in terms that they themselves would actually agree, reflect the way they
love
think and
that.
Feel, right? So if we're having an argument about abortion or something like that, and you're you're a pro-life individual, you might say, the cynical way to say it would be like, well, you're pro-choice because, you know, you don't care about unborn children. Right. When more closely to the truth might be, well, you're pro-choice because you genuinely care about a woman's right to make her own decisions, right? Doesn't mean you agree any more with the position, right. But now you're articulating it in a way to where the other person can nod their head and say, yes, I see that you understand me, right? Which makes me feel like I am being listened to, which in turn makes them more inclined to listen in return.
Love that.
We talk about the difference between a question of clarification and a gotcha question.
Yeah.
Question of clarification is tell me more about what you think.
Yeah.
A gotcha question is when you say, well, you say you believe this, but are you really caught in some contradiction?
Yeah. So, love that. These are such important principles. We're going to stay with the conversation because this is a crucial conversation and this is doing it a better way. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our friends at Braver Angels, David Blankenhorn and John Wood. And this is a great chance for you to check it out at braverangels.org. This is something you want to not just look at, not just read through. This is something to engage in. We talk about doing something that makes a difference. This is a great chance to do that. We'll step aside. We'll come right back with more of this crucial conversation.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson. Get deeper insights on the news from Inside Sources.
We're going to stay with the conversation here with David Blankenhorn and John Wood Jr. from braverangels.org. And remember, Einstein said it wasn't that he was any smarter than anyone else. He was just willing to stay with the question a little longer. Mm-hmm. And David and John, you both have been staying with the question longer when it comes to depolarizing and creating space for an experience that helps us see each other a little more deeply and have much better conversations. And John, I want to start with you in this segment. You recently had an extraordinary event at Gettysburg, a wide range of people participating, including some Utahns here. Governor Cox, of course, was there. Elder Ahmad Corbett, General Authority 70 of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, among many others. Give us a little sense of that conversation in such a historic place. Give us some sense of that.
Yeah. So Braver Angels National Convention, it was July 5th to the 8th in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Gettysburg College. Of course, you know, the larger site of one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And the invitation was fairly simple. You know, at this this site of one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War, we were gathering to rise for America and to work to prevent there being another one. Mm. That might sound like a bit of a dramatic statement, but of course we've seen political violence in America in recent years. There is this, you know, tremendous uncertainty over the future of our democracy, right? A degree of doubt that I think has been somewhat unprecedented in recent years. And so in that context, we gathered roughly 700 Americans, evenly divided from the left and from the right, with other folks in between, pulled from across sectors of American society. And so, you know, as you mentioned, there were high-ranking elected officials, there were religious leaders and scholars of great repute, but a broad coalition of activists, including Black Lives Matter folks and Tea Party folks, artists and musicians, the group Gangstagrass, a nationally, globally famous hip-hop bluegrass fusion group, held it down on the concert stage. There's theater, there's art, there's comedy, there's music, there's debate. Our delegates came together to draft our 2023 Braver Angels platform, sort of a vision statement to America, product of left and right input, and 200 or so organizations sent representatives to participate in the entire arc of the experience as a part of a larger civic renewal movement that Braver Angels is taking some leadership in. Yeah. And so it was an extraordinary experience that was filled with both tension and catharsis, you know? The disagreements that people had were deeply felt. One individual who showed up and played a great part was Francis Collins, former director of the National Institute for Health, a very principal figure in the response to the COVID-19 pandemic, who also is deeply distrusted by many of the activists who are there, right? Who have very deep concerns about that, you know, but he engaged those folks, participated in workshops, right? Received criticism and scrutiny and returned it with good faith and goodwill. Hawk Newsom of Black Lives Matter, somebody who is absolutely considered a radical, you know, particularly by just about everybody, certainly many conservatives, you know, but he's there talking to Republicans, you know, hashing it out in a good faith sort of way. It was a unique moment in all of American civic life. It is no exaggeration to say that. And the energy, the idea that we could organize across these divisions to change, to impact the conscience of America was profound.
Yeah, fantastic. David, give me an aha moment or a moment from that national convention that was maybe kind of the wow moment for you.
You know, for me, the strongest feeling I had about it came from people saying how they felt about the experience. Mm. You know, I'm the president of the organization. One of the things I get to do is, you know, people want to come up to me and say things. Mm-hmm. And over again, people would say, I've never had an experience like this before. This is not where we just sit and listen to speakers. This has been such a moving thing. We have had ministers come up to me and say, you know, I'm a professional religious person, and this is one of the most spiritually rich experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
Now, Braver Angels is not a ministry,
right?
But a spirit of the possibility of transcendence at a deep spiritual level just pervaded that thing. And people just feel like it was a transformative personal experience. Mm. And the thing that did it is when you think that there are all these people who don't like you and you don't like, and you have several days to engage with them and you find that you care about them as fellow human beings, it literally lights up the pleasure centers in your brain in a way that almost looks almost like a drug. You know what I mean? You want more of it. For me, it wasn't one moment so much as so many people, I'm not trying to brag about it really, but I'm just descriptively, that was the main feeling I got out of it.
Yes.
Although I will give you one moment that I think did touch many people, and that was the moment when Monica Guzman, senior fellow for public practice at Braver Angels, an extraordinary journalist out of
Seattle.
And
she's been on our show.
Well, then folks will know. Monica,
we love Monica.
Monica is a superstar.
She is.
And so she gave an extraordinary talk. I think it was the first full day of the convention, but following that, Monica is a liberal journalist from Seattle who was born in Mexico, whose parents are Mexican immigrants who are conservatives who voted for Donald Trump, right? Monica did not vote for Donald Trump. They have an extraordinary story together, love each other deeply, and her father got up and sang a song that I believe was titled after her book, which is called I Never Thought of It That Way, which was sort of a glowing back and forth between a father and a daughter about how they loved and appreciated each other across their differences and how they learned from each other you know, every step of the way. And, I can't do it justice because I can't just sit here and sing it for you, but folks want to go to the YouTube channel and look it up. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, those moments are so, so powerful.
Beautiful moment.
We love Monica because I actually believe that she is so spot on in terms of radical curiosity. Yeah. I think one of the greatest threats to the Republic is a lack of curiosity, because once I get that instant certainty, or I know I'm right and you're wrong, and or whatever it may be, and we stop asking the questions, that's where everything begins to unravel. And the solution to every problem begins with someone saying, let's talk about it, or tell me about it, or help me understand. Those are the kinds of questions that we have to get to. And I want to get to something with you, David, going back to the event. And I know you recreate these as you're doing it in chapters and groups all around the country. And it is this idea of experience that leads to transformation. These are not things that are going to show up in a Pew Research poll, but listening to both of you describe the experience, it's like oxygen. And when the American people experience what you all do at Braver Angels, it is like oxygen. They're like, yeah, I want to be part of that conversation. Mm. And so give us a sense in terms of how you're doing this across the country, in terms of creating that space for that experience that ultimately leads to the kind of transformation you're talking about.
Well, it can sound very Pollyannish, Boyd. You know what I mean? You can sound like, oh, we can talk to one another. But the truth is, I bet a lot of your listeners, if you're getting your view of what's happening in politics from watching the news or social media, it's so depressing, you know? But if the truth is, if you actually engage the human engagement across what you think is an insurmountable difference, it is personally transformative, and it helps you want to rise to a higher level of citizenship. You want more of this. You want to stand up and get involved because you have a hope. See, we're not just sitting around, talk to each other in a workshop. We're trying to change the country here.
Yeah.
And so we're calling people, we're giving them the opportunity to rise to a higher level of citizenship that brings our best selves to our country in a time of great need.
Yeah.
And there's no shortcut. You can't see a talking head on the news. You can't let somebody give you a lecture. You have to engage with your fellow citizens. There's no shortcut here.
I so love that. And in fact, we're going to do something we don't do very often on the show. We're gonna make this three segments. So we're going to stay with this conversation because what you just said, David, comes back to something we often emphasize, and that it's community and culture that lead. The politicians will follow in the end.
Absolutely.
But too often we've been convinced by the politicians or by the media that it's the other way around. That it's going to somehow an answer is going to come waltzing out of the marbled halls of Congress. But it's community and culture. It's always been that way.
They're like
the
waiters who bring us our meal.
That's right.
We order the food.
That's yes.
They're the ones who just bring it to us.
Yeah.
So we somehow think we're going to sit around passively and wait for these politicians to solve our problem. You know, even very good ones. Governor Cox, Spencer Cox of Utah, came to our convention. Great guy.
Yeah.
Democratic U.S. Representative Dean Phillips came to our convention. So I'm not putting down politicians, but here in America, it's we the people, baby.
Yeah. Awesome. We're going to stay with the conversation. We'll be right back.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
All right, we're doing the ultimate stay with the conversation today because this is just too good. We're so grateful to have our friends from BraverAngels.org with us, both David Blankenhorn, John Wood Jr. And gentlemen, as we continue the conversation, John, I want to go back to you. We've been talking about these experiences and how it is community and culture that leads. As the national ambassador, you get to see that on the ground. This is all boots on the ground stuff. This is not just a nice talk or a nice podcast or anything else. It's much deeper, much larger than that. Give us a sense.
It's a fairly sprawling enterprise at this point, not just in terms of the breadth of territory that we cover, but also the range of institutions that we touch, right? And so Braver Angels is spread out demographically and geographically. We are at present about 13,000 or so members, about 2,500 volunteers across the country, pretty close to about 100 local bipartisan alliances. So you can think about them as essentially local Braver Angels chapters. And communities being built on about 60 or so college campuses across America.
Wonderful.
Programs in the United States Congress, state houses and municipal governments, and even school boards across America. Workshops and programs that are set forth both for ordinary individuals and civilians and also elected officials and candidates. A singer-songwriter community, a couple hundred artists and musicians strong, a fledgling digital media network, multiple podcasts, newsletters, writers, articles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we are taking something of workshops for families as well as faith communities, right? And so we are taking a whole of society approach towards deploying the sorts of experiences that we have laid out here in a way that essentially sets in motion a sort of virtuous cycle of relationship building to counteract the vicious cycle of relationship destruction that we see being set forth, you know, by the status quo of our politics. And so, you know, what do I mean by that? If I can just illustrate it very quickly, you know, polarization is not something that just happens as a consequence of a single point of contact disagreement between two people or between two groups of people, right? The problem is not that people disagree and disagree vigorously. That is natural and healthy in a democracy. The problem is when those disagreements, those natural disagreements, are exacerbated, exaggerated, and weaponized through the perverse incentives of our institutions. And so if you and I disagree about something, boy, that's one thing. But if an entire media channel then says, I'm going to build an audience and gain ratings by playing off of the fears of this one group of people who are in disagreement, disagreement, then suddenly you've toxicified us for ratings. If through toxicifying us for ratings, you radicalize us to become activists who then will only vote for the politicians who cater to our worst instincts, then suddenly the political parties have become a part of toxicifying the voters.
Yeah.
That sends people into office who have no incentive to govern with goodwill across the aisle. That destroys our government's ability to function. Nobody trusts the government, and suddenly the media jumps in and says, well, hey, the reason for this is because the other side screwing everything up, right? Not acknowledging the part that they have to play in it. That is a vicious cycle, and we are reversing it.
Yeah, and I love that. We often talk about it in the context of we've been conditioned to respond inappropriately to those negative base emotions of anger, fear, frustration, that toxicity.
Yes, exactly.
And David, I want to get to you in terms of you've been here in the state of Utah over the weekend. Give us a little sense of those conversations and what it is that you're building as you look at expanding and that influence across the country.
We were just wonderfully blessed to be invited by some of the elders to observe General Conference on Sunday. We got to meet a number of the leaders of the church, and we're going to be able to learn more over the next several days. And, you know, for me, just speaking personally, I don't know how our work with the church is going to evolve. And a lot of this will depend on the decisions of others. But I'll just say, I believe there is such an alignment between the peace-building call from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I've been remembering the president of the church saying that in contested matters, we should seek moderation and unity.
Yeah.
And then the big talk called Peace Builders Needed.
Mm.
Now, that is in such perfect alignment, and I mean that really truly, with that mission of being blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm.
That's so close to what we're trying to do in the civic sphere of Braver Angels. I believe that growing connections between the members of the church to the degree that they would like to get involved in this movement of civic renewal that Braver Angels is a part of, I honestly believe it could have a transformative effect on the country.
Yeah, I so love that. We actually did a special on Sunday in between conference sessions about peacemakers and the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. That sometimes that peacekeeping is sort of the passive, avoid it, don't get into it. But peacemaking is a very bold
It's very active. It's an act of citizenship.
Yeah.
That John developed the phrase a couple of years ago. We use a lot. We call it patriotic empathy. It's the idea that we have our partisan views and we fight strongly for those things. There's also a higher form of patriotism that means that we connect with our fellow citizens despite our disagreements because we are a country and we're trying to live together. And that's what's at risk now in our country.
Yeah, so true. And John, just as we come down the home stretch here, give us one thought that you hope everybody walks away with. When people have an experience with Braver Angels, what's just one thing that you hope they walk away of that they might think different or do different as a result?
Well, just that the power of goodwill is transformational.
Mm.
Many of us operate under the assumption that the problem in our politics today stems from misinformation. Or the idea that, you know, some people are wrong, other people are right, and the people who are wrong, they're just not getting it through their thick heads, right?
Isn't that true, John?
and that's not to minimize the problem of, you know, misinformation. You know, there is truth, right? I mean, I do firmly believe that. However, the higher truth that is relevant here is the fact that it is a deficit of trust that undermines our democracy far more than a deficit of facts, right? Because, Boyd, you could have all the right information in the world. If I don't trust you as a person, if I don't trust your intentions, I'm not going to listen to a single thing you say. I'm not going to trust the veracity of anything that you say.
Yeah.
You know?
So
and so if we can revive a culture of goodwill in American life and establish that as the foundation upon which our political conversations take place, we reestablish the basis for trust between the American people.
Yeah, and that's so crucial. And David, going to give you the last word on this, and I want to stay with this idea of trust. I've often talked about this in the context of we have stress tested our constitutional republic in World War, in pandemic, in economic collapse. We've never stress tested it in the absence of trust. And that's my biggest fear, is that because of all of these other things going on, the polarization and all of that, that we've undermined trust in institutions. We've undermined the trust in elected officials and other community leaders. And sadly, that distrust has seeped its way all the way down to not trusting our neighbor as much anymore. And so give us, just in our last 60 seconds here, David, give us one thing relating to trust that we all ought to be thinking about today.
The true meaning of civility is the inner desire to do good to your opponents. And so it's not just being polite. It's extending goodwill to them, even if you don't think it's going to be reciprocated. Trust is an abundant good.
Yeah.
It requires a belief in things unseen. I have to give something to you that you may not give back. And if I do, it will be like the loaves and fishes. It's an abundant good. And if we have that spiritual and moral capacity to connect with one another in that way, trust becomes an abundant good, and we can continue our experiment in ordered liberty for the next several hundred years. If we can't, we're in serious danger.
Yeah, fantastic. Great perspective. John and David, thank you so much for joining us today on Inside Sources. We appreciate your work. We love what you're doing. We love how you're doing it, because it is the thing that we have to get right in this country. And this is one of those, everyone, where it's time to lean in. This is the take the action kind of conversation today. So you can go to braverangels.org and don't just learn about it. Lean into it and take advantage of the opportunities to participate in it, and you will have an experience. It will transform you. It'll ripple through your own home, through your community, and that's how we make a difference in the nation. We'll be right back.